Are you going to go out for Halloween? Do you have your costume yet? I dressed up like a mad scientist last year and had an alien baby in my hands. People freaked out. This thing was one of the ugliest little creatures you've ever seen. I guess ugly's beauty's in the eyes of the beholder, isn't it? But let me tell you, for an earthling to look at this thing, it was bad. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your phone calls. Full moon open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Got a friend in St. Louis. He's going out as a vampire. His name's Peter. I got to tell you, he looks like a vampire without being dressed up like one. I mean, almost like Bela Lugosi. I kid you not. From the hair, the style, the works. Kind of creepy, but that's what he's going as. He's going as himself. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chester in Baytown, Texas. Wild card line. Hey, Chester, welcome.
Thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Out a while ago, so I can't pass this by. I think on Halloween I'm gonna go out as George Norrie. What do you think?
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's scarier than anything.
I know. I was your last caller the other day when you had the doctor on. Blood pressure 163.
That's high.
Yeah, and I was pretty irresponsible of him to say, well, if you don't feel it, you know. Anyway, it's not your fault. What I want to call about is a Mayan calendar. Now you have to use your imagination on this.
All right.
You got the chief. I don't know who was the head of mines, the chief or the priest. I don't know who had the big power. But he was going on a 3-week, 4-week summers. So he says, listen, this calendar has only been got 4 years. I need more years on it. So you people better get to work chiseling away, or I'm going to sacrifice you when I get back.
You never know. Let's get back to the blood pressure. Was that Dr. Horowitz when he was on with me?
Yes.
Okay, now what did he say? Because you called, you said your blood pressure was like 160 over 90, and I told you that's too high.
Yeah, you did. No, I'm not blaming you. That's what he said.
No,
but y'all were then talking about caffeine and cigarettes. I don't smoke, and I don't use caffeine at all.
Right, but what did he say to you?
He never really said anything, except all I could hear him say was, well, if you don't feel bad, you know, that's all I got out of him.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, but, no, I mean, you know what? If your blood pressure is 160, and it was low, if I remember your call, it was low, and then they took you off something, they put you on something, and then it went way back up again.
Right, then they put me back on, so now it's back down to where it is.
What is it now?
Watch it, anyway.
Is it normal now?
Yeah, it's pretty close to normal.
Good, okay.
So, but it wasn't your fault, George.
No, I know that.
And besides that,
it's never my fault. You know,
take your job. I could probably do your job for maybe 2 nights, and I'd go nuts.
No, I love it.
I'm good at believing everybody, and I'd go nuts. My Mayan calendar. Okay, so he tells them to do it, and he comes back, and he says, and they come up to them, and they're haggard. They haven't been eating and sleeping. They said, we got it finished. He says, so he goes over. He says, we're sorry, we couldn't do any more. We're too sick. He says, how far did that thing go? He said, 2012. Are you people crazy? I ain't gonna live that long. Hold you to 2012.
You know what? It could be just like that.
Could be.
You never know. All right, be well.
I have one more if I could. My friend's an evangelist.
Okay.
And he called me one day, and he said that he had prayed with this woman who was blind, and after they got through praying, she could see. So I said, wow. I said, I want to meet her. And he said, that's not important. I said, I want to meet her, because if you did that, we'll kick Joel Osteen out of the summit, and you take his place. I don't understand this. I even told my sister about it. She said, no, I wouldn't want to know.
This is not a joke. This is real, huh?
It's real. This isn't a joke, no.
Yeah, I'd want to meet her, too. I'd want to meet him.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, he's okay. He's my friend. I mean, I've known him for a long time.
Give him call. Let him call in one day. Okay, hey, thanks. Let's go west of the Rockies, Las Vegas, Nevada. Robert's there, 11-year-old. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Norrie.
Well, you are welcome.
Well, a while ago, you had a show on John Teeter.
Yes, the time traveler.
Mm-hmm. And I searched his blogs on the internet. And as I was reading his blogs, I noticed that he has a lot of similarities to my interests. And I thought, what if I'm John Teeter?
Well, now that's kind of interesting because he would be about your age right now, And his family, you didn't live in Florida before, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't live in Florida. I thought maybe that was just something he said.
No, they say he lived in Florida, but he moved to the Midwest. He might be in Nebraska, but you know what? You don't know. Tell me about your interests. You believe you believe in time travel.
Mm-hmm. I recently just became out of nowhere became fascinated with time travel, and I he said that he is interested in UFOs, and I am as well.
And there's a lot out there. And Robert, if you had a chance to go into the future or back in the past, what would you do?
I would go back in the past.
Whereabouts? What time period would you go back to, and how come?
I would want to see you like before the Big Bang and stuff. See what you'd be like.
That's great. So you'd go all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what we'd see. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure I have absolutely no clue. That's why I'd like to go back.
Good for you. So you don't have school tomorrow, so you're up listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. You listen a lot?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, you keep checking in with us, okay?
Okay.
All right, Robert. Thanks. 11 years old. How about that? Let's go to Doug in St. Louis, Missouri. There you go, Doug. Welcome to the show, Douglas.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I got two short things I wanted to talk with you about. One was terraforming Mars, and the other was Dr. Robert Bussard.
Okay.
I got a showstopper for you on the terraforming Mars. I know you talked about it one time when you were doing a space show.
Yes, with Bob Zubrin.
That's right. Very, very cool guy. Afraid I got a showstopper. It's never going to work.
Tell me why.
Because Mars has no planetary magnetic field, and without that, you don't have the magnetic shield to shield you from the solar wind, and it will blow away your atmosphere.
You think it's a dead planet?
Well, unless you can restart the core of the planet and restart the magnetic field, in that respect, yes, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, we know how to create greenhouse gases. I mean, Lord knows we'd know how to
sure.
do that. But
just dissipate again, though, right?
That's right, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like a showstopper and until we, another 5,000 years.
Next time we have Zubrin on, I'm going to ask him that. And nobody's asked him that question yet.
Yeah. And the other thing is Dr. Robert Bussard and his nuclear fusion. There's a Google video that was made. Google Incorporated, they had some kind of series where they invited guest speakers in. And he made a video for them about his nuclear fusion project that he was doing under contract for the Navy.
Right.
And he had a fusion machine that was about 10 feet square. And he had said on his video that he had achieved break-even. And this was a break-even with a machine. And this was just shortly before he died of cancer. And then he could talk about it because his contract with the Navy ended. And he was no longer embargoed. But then they re-upped his contract, or however you want to say that. And they put him back under contract, so he had to clam up about it.
Do you think he died of cancer, or do you think they did him in, Doug?
Well, you know, I kind of wonder about that, because he transferred all his materials shortly before he died to another guy, Richard Benson or something Benson.
All right, what happened to him? Anything?
He died.
He died, too. Weird.
Yeah. So the Navy's got that embargo. They want this machine for their submarines because it'll fit. And he had achieved break-even. So you really ought to have a show on that because, you know, there's the answer to the energy of the future. He has the machine, and it was just about to work, and then he died.
Well, listen to this one. We had a past coast-to-coast guest by the name of Dr. Eugene Malov, who was working on cold fusion. He died.
Yeah.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit odd.
You know, they all seem to get close to something, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
But I'll check into this other story.
Yeah. The Google, you know, oddly enough, you can go to the Google and Google Bussard.
All right.
And you'll find it's like a 75-minute video.
I'll do it. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
Let's go to Los Angeles, California. Armeek is there. First-time caller. Hi there.
Hello. Hello, Mr. George Norrie.
Welcome.
Thank you for getting me on your line. Usually it's busy. I was calling because I've heard on your show a couple times you're talking about certain beings from other dimensions.
Yes.
Possibly coming through. And as I was younger, my grandfather always told me that when we're going to sleep, or maybe when we're like closest near a sleep state, maybe we're like susceptible to seeing them. And I always believe this, but I guess it's a case of when you believe something, but you don't really, really believe it. Well, anyway, one night late, I was in sleep. I was close to it, just really relaxing. And it seems like I overheard some people talking, but in my head, but rather like I really heard them as if they were there. And what really got me is I just naturally, instinctively, as if I stumbled upon a wrong conversation, asked them, well, hey, who are you? And they actually replied back to me in a sort of angry tone, like, who am I? Who am I? You know? And I just immediately got scared and just, you know, opened my eyes and got up. And I said, you know, I'm not going to relax right now. Let me turn on the radio and some lights and stuff. But, you know, I kind of wonder if that could be a case of something like that. I don't know. It stuck with me, though.
I think your grandfather was pretty right on.
Wow.
That state right before sleep and being awake gives you that opportunity to do some incredible things. Truly. Okay, thanks for the call. No, your grandfather was right on. Justin's in Hawaii. Welcome to Coast. Justin, what island you on?
I'm on Oahu.
There you go. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, well, thanks. Actually, this is a great follow-up to your last caller. The last few months, I've been experiencing very similar, same thing. For instance, on Sunday night, I was in a state of trying to sleep. I thought I was just awake, and I hear my cell phone go off. I get a text message, and it's probably, you know, quarter after one. And so I go to check the text message, and I've got an iPhone, so I've got a dead battery signal on it.
Huh.
So I go to turn on the light, and it doesn't work. And then I get up, and over my bed, I have a fan, and you pull down the lever, and then you get the light to turn on. But it seemed like an infant being hanging from my fan. And I go to turn on the light switch, and I grab this thing's hand. And that just freaked me out a little bit. But I've been having experiences where I'm laying in bed trying to sleep, and I feel like I'm awake just trying to sleep. And then I get this sensation that I'm getting dragged off the bed.
Oh, gosh.
And so I've just in the last, I'd say, 2 weeks, I've had a couple of experiences just like that. But the first time I had that experience was maybe 2 months ago, where I don't know if I was asleep. I can't remember, really recollect that. But I get a sensation beneath my right leg, like someone's pushing on the bottom of the bed, but through my leg.
They want to pull you under the bed, Justin.
Something's going on.
Something's weird. Yeah.
So that happens, and I sit up in bed, and I see this, you know, white thing with black eyes, and it's just staring at me. And of course, I go to scream, and I can't do that because I'm in that sleep paralysis state. And
you can't move.
I was able to sit up, which was the weird thing. But as soon as I tried to yell at it and scream, nothing happened. But it's been happening more and more often. And I just wanted to find out, you know, is it shadow people that, I know there's a lot of myths and it goes back centuries, you know, and I think some of the things I'd been reading that it's demonic beings that kind of come and visit you in that state between sleep and awake. But the weird thing is when I actually did receive a text message, and when I finally snapped out of it at that point, everything was fine. The lights were on. Everything was good. And it was just such a surreal experience.
I have found, Justin, that most shadow beings don't physically get involved in your life. They don't pull you off the bed. They don't do these strange things. That's It sounds like something else. It sounds like some kind of entity that's trying to either possess you or something demonic. That's my take on that. I'd monitor that. And if you need help, go to our website. Marianne Winkowski, put her in the search section and send her an email. She'll help you out. She's very good with this. Let's go to Chris in Lake Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Chris. You're up with us.
Hi, George.
Hey, welcome.
About 10 years ago, I had an experience while I was driving at night down a familiar highway, country road. I've driven it 1,000 times. And anyhow,
I lost you. Try to get back. Snowflake, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Paul's turn. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, George, how are you tonight?
Okay.
Great. About 6-7 years ago, I was coming back with three friends of mine from living in Snowflake, and we went to Phoenix for a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And we were coming back, and we were in the middle of the Arizona desert coming back from Phoenix, and we drove upon this, I can't quite describe it. It was some sort of a beast out in the middle of this Arizona desert. He was standing over like some roadkill. And, you know, an animal, when you pull up with a vehicle, you know, they got like a natural fear of that, you know, and they'll run away from
yeah.
it. You know?
Or they freeze and they just stare at you. They're locked on your lights.
They're locked onto the lights. Well, yeah. This thing, it was standing over roadkill, and it looked up at us. And I can tell you this, George, this thing stood about 5 foot tall, and it had this mane around it. It looked like almost like a lion's mane around it. And I've never, ever seen anything like this. And all of us were just mesmerized. And you're right. You know, you'll see the lights. You know how you'll shine lights in the animal's eyes, and it'll look kind of reddish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when the thing finally walked to the side of the car, it looked up at us as it was driving by, and its eyes were still glowing.
See, now, was it on 2 feet or four?
It was on 4 feet.
It was on four, okay.
But it was incredibly huge, you know, and it had no fear of us at all.
And,
you know?
Did it look like a lion?
No, it looked more like a wolf, but not anything like you've ever seen. It was really had almost like dreadlock looking mane around it, you know, and it was just incredible, you know. We all got back to Snowflake. We sat down and we drew a picture of what we all thought we saw out there, and it was incredible how it was all really similar what our renditions were of it.
What in the face, was it a really pointed face or not?
No, it was more like a kind of rounded face, you know. But those eyes, I'll never forget those eyes. And as it walked away from the headlights, and it looked up at us, and it was still glowing red eyes.
I bet you're glad you were in that car.
You know, I'll tell everybody there is something out in the Arizona desert. I wouldn't advise anybody to be hitchhiking out there.
Oh God. It's worse. You know, not only do you have to worry about some of the drivers and the hitchhikers, but then you've got these creatures wandering all over the place, too. You got to be very, very careful. And by the way, if you want more information on Brad Steiger's books, we got a link to his website up there at coasttocoastam.com. Very prolific writer. He's written over 170 books. That's not easy at all. Want to send me an email? It's George at coasttocoastam.com. We are in the midst of just working out the possibility of another website with something very fascinating, but that's really in the infant stage. I'll talk about that as we get closer. And welcome back to the final segment of Full Moon Open Lines. You know, the bumper song we played before we took that break was Brother Is from Hawaii. Brother is no longer with us anymore. We're going to Don in Hawaii, west of the Rockies. Hey, Don, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George. Aloha. Thanks for playing Brother Is tonight.
Oh, he's one of the best, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to your other segment maybe a month and a half ago about this Robert the Voodoo Doll.
Yes.
Yeah, what happened to that doll that the that, uh, person mail to you folks?
The doll, I was in St. Louis when the doll was given to us by Joshua Warren.
Right.
Tom has taken the doll because I didn't want it. And he has given it to a friend of his, of his fiance, and so she now has it. We will get a report probably in the next week or two, because they're going to talk to her to see what's going on.
Yeah, because you haven't met the doll at all, then.
No. I met the doll. No, that's not true. It was sitting here when I came back from St. Louis.
Yeah.
For one day, and I said, Tommy, get it out of the little studio. Now, this is funny.
Yeah.
He wears headsets when he takes these calls.
Right.
Ever since that doll was sitting in that room, his headsets broke.
Right.
Things have happened. Uh-huh. It's really weird. Anyways, the doll is physically gone from here.
And
the woman has it now. And I hope nothing happens to her, but it's weird.
Yeah.
I'll find out, and I'll let you know.
It was just interesting hearing about that doll coming to you guys and all these things happening and whatnot.
Yeah, hideous little thing.
Yeah. You take care, George.
All right, Don.
Aloha.
You too. Okay, you too. Let's go next to Kelly in Golden Valley, Minnesota on the wild card line. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And thank you for doing what you do. I just wanted to share a couple of facts that are, I really don't hear publicized in the media. I grew up in the Bay Area in Oakland, California.
Okay.
During the time that Three Strikes Law was initiated, and as well as medical marijuana.
All right.
About 4 days after 9/11, federal agents started to raid individuals who had registered with the proper authorities in the state of California as growing and using marijuana. And this is 4 days after 9/11. And from there, it persisted into shutting down all of the cannabis clubs. And I never hear that publicized. I didn't know it myself for about a year.
I would guess, Kelly, that they have continued to shut those places down up until a point now where maybe they're a little more lax, but I bet they were chasing people like crazy.
Yeah, well, there's a story. A woman who had cancer, she used medical marijuana so that she could eat.
Where are you? I need you on your phone when you're talking to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. That's how it works.
They actually went into people's homes, and there's a story written by a woman who has cancer and grew marijuana in her property, just four plants, which I believe was the maximum. And the federal agents were on the phone with the state agents and with their agents in Washington trying to decide what to do with this woman's
plant. Oh, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And they ended up just cutting them down and you know, leaving.
They didn't haul her off or anything.
No, they didn't. They didn't at the time. And I don't know whether or not she faced any charges after that. But no, at the time, it was just strictly killing the plant.
Well, you know, the feds say that if, California legalizes marijuana, that the feds are going to come crashing down on that.
Right. And you know, it really doesn't make any sense from any perspective. I mean, if anything, this should be studied more and openly about what
well,
the actual
and,
medical
and fairly. I question anybody who does studies these days. I don't believe them.
Well, there have been some longitudinal, very reputable studies, and I believe Santa Cruz is one of the places keeping track of this stuff. Because I don't know, I'm sure you've heard of marijuana, the gateway drug. That was kind of a tagline.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's come out in the last 3 or 4 years that it's not marijuana, it's alcohol. So people who start off with alcohol are more likely to smoke cigarettes and go on to other harder drugs.
That is true.
So the other bit of information I wanted to share with you is that in 2000, late 2001, early 2002, there's a group called the Oakland Riders, Oakland 13, which were basically the police in Oakland. And they had enough evidence to indict them on drug trafficking, RICO charges and whatnot. They were basically running the street gangs in the poorest neighborhoods of Oakland, California.
Okay.
To determine who's going to be able to sell, you know, drugs on the corner.
They're taking over. What happened to them?
Oh, well, three of them, I believe, fled to Mexico. And One or two have been indicted. I don't know about the rest of them, but it'd be interesting to find out. I think it's just a really interesting dichotomy there, because you have the police basically running the drugs in and out of the state.
Well, I don't know. I don't follow you on that. You know, if they've indicted some of those people, they're trying to shut them down. Tommy's got a text message for us here. We go into his little studio. Thomas?
George, Robin from Los Angeles, she says she saw you speak last year, and she wanted to know if you ever get nervous, and where do you get your jokes you use?
I get my jokes primarily from you.
I knew you were going to say
in
that.
In terms of nervous, no, you know that. I never get nervous at all.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that, and that's why we had to ask
you. No, never get nervous.
Well, you know, I watch the audience when you do speak at places, and we've got very smart people that show up, and they really relate to you, so I do see that, and no, you don't get nervous.
I enjoy doing that, by the way.
Very good. There you go, Robin.
All right, thanks. Next up, let us go to Dan in Cortland, New York, on the Wild Card Line. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Yeah. In the October's issue of MUFON Journal, Stanton Friedman had an article in there, two pages on page 12 and 13, about Colonel Philip Corso.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get over it, and I think a good person to have on that will debate the issue with him, because I checked into it, is Michael Sala. I think you've had him on your show before.
Sala's good. And I got to tell you, when it comes to the Philip Corso story, nobody's better than Bill Burns.
Yeah, well, Bill Burns and Philip Corso Jr. and Michael Sala should be able to defend them, because I believe in yes. Corso. And I usually do like Stanton Friedman, but he's way off base with both him, with Corso and Lazar.
Yeah, this is one of the cases where Stan just doesn't think Corso was above board here. And Bill Burns swears by him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I found out that what Corso was saying was that the National Security Council, that he never said he was a member of the National Security Council, but that he was a member of the Operation Coordinating Board, which is a branch of the National Security Council.
Yeah.
And Friedman doesn't know that, or he should. And also about that Route 40, about the ET craft stopped at Fort Riley before it went to Wright Field.
Mm-hmm.
It goes in about the Route 40. But I think a real good debate would be to have Stanton Friedman and Michael Sala on, in addition to the other one you said. Yeah, Bill Burns, he co-wrote the book with Corso.
Yeah, I mean, he knows him. He knows his notes. He knows everything.
Yeah, because I love debates. I used to listen to Crossfire, and I am a fan of the Morton Downey Jr. show back in the late 80s.
He was an old classic, wasn't he?
Yes, and I consider myself, and give me the chance, I consider myself the Morton Downey Jr. of ufologists. Because I can get quite testy if the time was right.
Yeah.
But
he died of cancer, or did he have a heart attack or something?
Colonel Corso.
No, Morton Downey.
Heart attack. He had two of them.
I mean Morton Downey Jr.
I'm sorry. I apologize about that. Yes. Unfortunately, the only two things the thing is Morton Downey Jr. did smoke.
Yeah, he did.
Smoke. Heavy. And that's what did him in. But getting back to Corso, my argument is, why would Philip Corso talk about his involvement with that and leave that legacy with his grandchildren? It just doesn't make sense why he would do that. And I've heard him speak. And this man, because I know a little bit of psychology, this man absolutely had no senility in him whatsoever. He was competent.
Yes, he was.
You know.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Okay, hey, keep in touch with us. Let's go next to Sheila in Kingwood, Texas, on the Wild Card Line. Hello, Sheila. Good morning.
Good morning. Your wonderful screener said for me to write down things so I would not forget.
Okay. Are you prone to forgetting these things?
I didn't know, but apparently I stuttered enough that it made him nervous.
All right, so he's trying to help you.
I'm going to make this really quick. First, do you remember when Ian Pundit, had called in and he was saying things that were just really off the wall?
Yeah, I thought he was having a stroke on the air.
Well, believe it or not, if you recall, someone had talked about how they felt that they were implanted with thoughts and things that had overwhelmed them with perhaps microwave technology.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering if they didn't show all of us listeners and you and Ian, that they have that kind of control. And also, I would like to ask you, the wonderful the prayer vigils,
yes,
for us to have the consensus
that we do on
of
Fridays.
Goodness, if there's any way you could do it on the radio someday for us. to get together to do this for the goodness of people. And
well, you don't need to do it on the radio, because as long as people are doing it, that's all that matters.
Well, I understand. However, there are some people that feel they don't realize they have that power unless they're given this in a verbal, spiritual way, and you've got the way to do it. Also, I just wanted to share with you, my uncle is one of the Christian Doctors Without Borders.
Mm-hmm.
And if you knew, you know, the WikiLeaks,
yeah,
it would make your hair stand up if you knew the other issues going on in the world that Doctors
what?
Without Borders are looking at is just terrible. So please, if you would, the goodness, everything, we're all here in one place at one time. We're here for you to help us, you know, and get us through, because these times that are coming, obviously you've had many people that have come on the radio to tell you we are going to go through very, very hard times coming up, and we need you.
I'll be here.
And I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
Thank all right, Sheila. I'm going to be here for a long, long time, carrying all of us together as a group. We'll get through it together. I've always said that. You know, there's no isolated cases here. Whatever happens, we are in this together. And you know, we're ready. We're ready as a network to adjust just in case. And we'll be on the air as long as we have to be for you. Let's go to Kim in Hammond, Indiana, first-time caller. Go ahead, Kim. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been listening.
Oh, boy, that's not going to work, Kimberly. Bad phone. Let's go to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Bill, you've got us. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, George. It's great to talk to you, man. Hey, I just had two of your callers before talked about something. They said they saw something or heard something while they were sleeping or about to fall asleep. And I had similar problems when I was younger. And I just wanted to say that there's, I think it's called the pineal gland in your brain.
Yep, absolutely.
DMT.
Mm-hmm.
So I take you know what I'm talking about. And that's what I've discounted for, you know, whatever experiences I've had. I just want to let anybody else know out there. I actually was put on for schizophrenia. I was put on medication for that because I was stressed out. But after reading about DMT, I was like, that's all it was. And it can make you hallucinate. It's the most powerful hallucinogenic on the planet. So I just want to let everybody out there, you know, know
very
that.
Good. And by the way, if somebody takes or if you take melatonin to help relax yourself for your mood and for sleeping, don't take anything more than 50 milligrams. All the studies I've seen with regards to melatonin, you wake up groggy if you take anything more than that. You know, melatonin, it's created by the pineal gland, but a lot of people abused it for relaxing and sleep and stuff like that. But please, if you do, every study I've seen, 50 milligrams, no more than that, or you'll be a zombie in the next day, and you don't want to do that. Hey, by the way, after Ian and George Knapp this weekend, we've got a great week of shows for you, starting Monday with Brooks Agnew. Now, he's the guy who wants to go into the hollow earth. We're going to get an update from him on that. And then on Tuesday, we'll be talking with Catherine Austin Fitz. She'll be in the studio. Chris Catcher joins us talking about gold. Joshua Warren joins us. He'll be talking about some paranormal things as well. And then a great week for you for the rest of the week. Here's UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. And I also see a ghost. I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs because you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Jake Potter, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.